Today, we're going to talk about
legacy projects becoming what you're known for. What I'd like you to do is picture your family, your friends, your coworkers, and maybe a few stragglers. They're sitting, listening as someone at the front is speaking eloquently about you. While some of us have had that experience when winning an award, the scene I'm describing is actually quite different. It's not an award, or it's not a business presentation. It's your eulogy. When I talk about a legacy project, I'm referring to the lasting impact that you are in the process of making. It's what people will write in your obituary. I'm suggesting that we can positively impact, in fact, create our legacy if only we are intentioned about doing so. Yes, there are those who are lucky. They're born with incredible athletic ability or musical talent, or they happen to have won the genetic lottery and have a head start through economic opportunity. But luck is only part of it. There are plenty of kids who squander their advantage growing up aimless and without distinction. And there are plenty of kids who grew up with nothing, yet whose legacy is incredibly enduring. If I said the name Mother Teresa to you, or Albert Einstein, you know exactly what they represented and exactly what they left to the world. It's all about intention, ambition, and fulfillment of potential. So, obviously working hard is quite important, and gaining experience is an important goal. Malcolm Gladwell asserts that one cannot be an expert without first earning 10,000 hours of experience. So how do you become recognized for your expertise if you don't have enough experience to be recognized? Well, this isn't the problem just for those entering the workforce or for entrepreneurs, but it's also an issue for those considering career change and those newly promoted into a different role. Here's a few ideas to get some of this experience to kickstart yourself. You can borrow it. You can add people to your team to complement your skills, then learn from them. You can purchase the experience, hiring a coach or management consultant to quickly get you up to speed. Of course, make sure that their 10,000 hours are real and directly relevant to your requirements. You can change your focus. Sometimes, a slight shift in your priorities will allow more of your past experience to become relevant. Or you can assume the risk. Yes, you might not have those 10,000 hours, but the cost of failure may not be so high. Nevertheless, reduce the risk by reading, attending presentations, and networking to learn as much as possible. So, you know, what kind of hours are you collecting? My suggestion is to add up the hours and check. What are the hours that you've earned throughout your career across various competencies? Are you earning hours in the areas that are important to you? If you are, then you will at least have the requisite expertise. But what if you don't know what direction to point yourself in? The concept of the long game can help. I recently spoke a number of months ago at an event filled with undergraduate business school students. Before heading to the podium, I talked to a student who was to address the group after me. His topic was how to be hired as an investment banker. I wished him luck and asked him how he learned about his topic. It was a summer job. I then asked if he had started the field's key professional certification. He said no, since it was valueless. Despite whatever he said at the podium, to me, this person demonstrated both arrogance and ignorance. How did he see the certification as valueless? And how can a summer job make one an expert? While it may have been quite some time since your student days, there is a concept, once again, the long game, that is more relevant as your career progresses. While instant gratification is satisfying, longer-term fundamental advancement often takes much longer. Said another way, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither should your career. Long game activities meet three criteria. There's an investment in time, sometimes money. The return will not be instant. And finally, the results are sometimes uncertain. Here are a few examples. Number one, you can volunteer at a not-for-profit. Initially, you might work at an event and eventually manage part of it. After several years, you might work yourself up through the committee structure and eventually become a member of the board. While there are short-term benefits to your participation, the long-game benefits might include a broader skill base, a great network, and solid non-work references. Where will this lead you in the future? Unknown, but nowhere but up. Here's another example. Attain a professional certification. The vast majority of certifications take at least several years to earn and often require academic coursework, self-study, examinations, association membership, and work experience. While your short-term learning might help you in your current position, going through the process will deepen your subject matter expertise, build a network of others with that certification, and result in greater professional opportunities down the road. A third example is this. Stretch yourself within your current role. Why not volunteer to be on work-related committees or special projects? At the beginning, this will help you broaden your skills, but doing so on an ongoing basis develops your reputation for going the extra mile, always contributing to the team, and generally moving the business forward. And once again, it develops your network. There's a whole bunch of other long game ideas. Learning a new language, building skills through a hobby, starting a small business on the side, seeking a transfer to a different country. But the whole idea is, once again, it's an investment in time. The return will not be instant, and the results are sometimes uncertain. One of the things I suggest to people is that they choose a couple long game activities and schedule them into their calendars. You shouldn't expect any recognition from anyone else for these activities, but check back in a year and a half or two. You'll be surprised at how far you've gone. I should point out that the long game activities are not random. And I'll return to a theme here. They're intentional. They're planned. It's just that the outcome isn't. So we develop the expertise, Gladwell's 10,000 hours. What do we do with it? Thinking of your eulogy is actually quite helpful here. If you wrote it yourself, what would you say? I can guess what you wouldn't say. So-and-so always delivered on time and on budget. Nor would it say, so-and-so wrote that winning proposal 20 years ago. It would talk about the impact you had on your family and your community, punctuated by anecdotes that illustrated this. It would talk about your personality, your hobbies, and your dreams, and share bits and pieces about them to animate what they meant. And it would talk about what you left behind, particularly your family. When we think about our legacies, they aren't typically those 10,000 work hours, although for you, maybe they are. But developing professional success does bring important collateral benefits. It pays for a good school for your children. It pays for vacations where you can develop stronger relationships. And it gives you the ability to give to charity. To develop legacy relationships, we need 10,000 relationship hours. We actually need far more, but let's stick with that 10,000. If we expect our eulogy to focus on our relationships, we can only do this if we earn this privilege. This, interestingly, brings up the question of how we can do this. The concept of personal branding, and specifically the Pine Tree brand model, can help. We want people to remember us for what we represent, but this aspect, our character, is not readily available. We don't wear a sign saying this, nor do we post it on Facebook. The Pine Tree brand model states that what we represent is defined by what we do and what others see. Are we on time or always late? Sloppy or neat? Are we polite or rude? Driven or lazy? Analytical or creative? Our personal brands are defined in others' minds by what we do and what they see. So far, we've spoken about creating legacy in your professional lives, in your relationships, but you can also create legacy financially by making a substantial gift to an organization in exchange for naming rights. Depending on the size of the gift, the entire institution's name can change, or a building can be named, or a room, or a hallway, or even the back of a chair. Often your name will also appear on plaques, in annual reports, and on the web. You'll be recognized in events, and after you pass away, your children will continue to be honored on your behalf. By giving away money, you can enable causes and institutions that you feel are important and gain influence over their direction. In one of my earlier books, Personal Balance Sheet, I introduced the concept of balance as being non-binary. It's not work versus life, it's both. A more reasonable division, and this is the personal balance sheet model I'm talking about, is not to say work versus life, but say you can spend time in community, financial, intellectual, physical, spiritual, financial, and career. Every person puts time and mind share into these seven buckets in the proportion that makes sense to them. If they do so, they've got balance. If they have no balance, this means that there is a basic misalignment that what they are living and what they aspire to live in these seven areas. The personal balance sheet model has an even more profound dimension that's relevant to this particular discussion. If we are looking to define what our legacy should be, then we can set a legacy goal for each personal balance sheet dimension. What do you want your legacy to be with your family, with your community? Do you want an intellectual legacy, a spiritual legacy, a physical legacy? Do you want to leave a financial legacy, a legacy in your career? Each of these dimensions needs their own 10,000 hours, or rather, needs far more. The first 10,000 hours gives you expertise. It's only then that you can work on your legacy. I'm not being judgmental, by the way. The personal balance sheet model states that you yourself choose which of these dimensions have priority. If you don't want an intellectual legacy, then that's your decision. If family ranks over community, that's your choice too. The personal balance sheet model is the framework for you can choose your priorities. So this brings us to today. If we think about how we spend our time during the day and on the job, is there a magic formula for success? Could it be as simple as work smart and work hard? Let me pull this entire discussion together and leave you with an action item. While working smart and working hard are important, success in a particular role is determined well before we're even aware of the role itself. And we often don't know how truly successful we are until well after we leave. Consider these factors. Your success is determined by what you did earlier, much earlier. Each course you took and each role you held gives you a reservoir of experience that qualifies you for more responsible positions. This reservoir is also called upon each time you make difficult decisions later in your career. If we take career shortcuts, we often miss out on this experience and our decisions are either riskier or poorer. Even if we have the greatest education and the greatest experience, we always could use more, which is why mentors are so important. Number two, your success is determined by what you did the first few weeks before you actually started a role. Each time you change your role, there will be differences in geography, industry, your function, internal processes, culture, etc. If you can identify these differences, then you can prepare for them before you start. Part of that preparation can be done through your independent research, part through networking, and part through material that you request from your new manager. The goal is to reduce the surprise factor and hit the ground running, or rather, at least to hit the ground walking. Number three. Your success is determined by the impression you make during the first day. On your first day, you will be under the microscope. Everyone will be making quick assessments of your competence, work style, and priorities. The first day and beyond should be spent primarily in listen mode, learning, comparing the reality of the job with the preparation you've made beforehand, and developing relationships with those who can help you integrate. Number four. Your success is determined by what you do each day. Reputations are made by constantly delivering on your promises. If we think about personal branding, it's very simple. What you do and what they see determines what you represent. Consistent performance is worth far more than a one-time win that can't be repeated. And finally, your success is determined by the legacy you leave well after you're gone. Thinking about your last role, what is the one thing that you are most proud of? How would your colleagues answer that question? If the answer to these questions have made a positive impact on the organization as well, then you've left a fine professional legacy indeed. Here's the action item. To determine your true success, first think of your legacy, not in terms of ego, but in terms of how you want to be remembered. Once you know the legacy you want to leave, then it's easy to work each day towards that goal on every personal balance sheet dimension. It's easier to make that best first impression. It's easier to prepare for a new role. And it's easier to assemble the experience that will make it all possible. What legacy do you want to leave? If you can name it, then you know the magic formula. This is Randall Craig. Thank you for joining us.